Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Well, I've been better, Gio. And before I start going off on things, let me just say this. It's a take in the cushion day. And to remind people that if you don't take in your cushions, they could be at the end of the block by the end of the day.
Already did. Yep. Yeah, very boy. Good.
It's a pain in the
public
ass.
Public service announcement.
Gotta do it, but you got to do it. I don't care what anybody says.
I'm also going to add to this. You have to bring the umbrella down. You got to make sure that the umbrella goes down and you tie it up. And if there's any chairs, you got to make sure that the chairs are someplace else that could blow away. You got some serious winds coming through.
You got a lot of stuff coming here. Yeah.
Yeah. If you got a boat on a mooring, make sure you have insurance.
That's true. You know that for sure. The umbrellas turn into spears if you're not careful. Yeah. So anyway, so that's that. You know what? I don't know what the hell is going on with the Rangers. Really, I really don't. I don't. You know, actually, Alexander Georgiev has played better than Henrik did this year. And I'm not blaming this whole thing on Henrik. You could look at the power play. It's been disgusting. 1 of 11. They've been pushed around. They've been, their top line has not performed. So there's a million reasons why. It's just so disappointing that, you know, I think most of us Ranger fans were thinking, all right, look, if we can get past the Hurricanes, great. We make it to the playoffs. I don't necessarily know that we expected to make it to the playoffs. But, you know, around the first of the year, they started to change the way that they played. And a lot of that was due to the young goaltending of Alexander Georgiev and also Shesterkin. Shesterkin was what 10-2, and Georgiev I think was 17-14. Henrik had a losing record, you know. And I understand the respect factor. I understand all of that. You know, I'm going to be the first guy in line for the night that we go and honor Henrik and we put his number up in the rafters. He deserves all of that. But you know what we have seen is what we have seen a lot of times with a lot of great players. And he reminds me, I'm going to say this, and my friend hates when I say this and I compare him to people.
The Eli Manning of hockey. Is that where you're going?
No. He's not the Eli Manning. He's the Dan Marino of hockey.
The Dan Marino of hockey?
Yes, because unfortunately Dan was the greatest player of his era and couldn't win a Super Bowl. And Henrik at times was the best goalie
at times.
And has had a tremendous career for the Rangers. The only reason I say that is because we as Rangers fans adore Henrik, will always adore him, much like we do Mike Richter, much like we do Brian Leetch, much like we do Messier, Eddie Jockeman, you know, Jean Rattel, Vic Hatfield, Rod Gilbert. It goes on and on and on and on. You know, we have this love affair with our players, much like I think Yankee fans have a love affair with their players, much like I have a love affair with the Knicks of 69 and the 90s Knicks, just maybe like you do. I mean, so it's hard when somebody is not the same player that you remember. And when that player is also playing in a different system, then all of a sudden that player becomes exposed at an advanced age. And that's where we are with Henrik. That's all there is to it.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
I wish Shesterkin. This is not the way things work in 2020 with injuries and stuff. You know what's going on.
There's Georgiev is sitting there too, and Georgiev has had a better year than Henrik did. And I'm sorry, and I don't give a damn about, you know, hockey. There's a lot of this. Well, they did this against this team, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago. Hey, 5 months ago, they were 4-0 against this team. You know, but now all of a sudden, this team is basically made the Rangers look like a team that doesn't belong where they are, and that is in the run for the Stanley Cup. So I just say one shift, one period, one game at a time. That's what it's going to take tonight. I hope they make a change in net just to relieve the pressure. The other thing, too, like I was telling you yesterday, if you watch the way the Hurricanes play, there's two things that they do. One, they dump it into the Ranger zone, and they want the goalie to touch the puck. There's sometimes you play against other teams where you don't want that goalie touching the puck because that goalie will get that puck out of there really quickly, and he'll activate the offense going the other way. That is not Henrik's strength. We all know that. So that's what Carolina does. They want him to handle the puck. They know he's just going to wrap it around the boards and throw it away, and it's going to end up into a fiasco in the own zone. And that's basically what happens. And the other thing they do is when they do get the lead, they basically clog the middle. And yesterday, Peter Mrazek, their goalie, made like three unbelievable saves.
Well,
and
that's the difference. You got to bury the puck in a couple of those opportunities for the Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference in the game.
I mean, you know, right. Howden was a big one early, and then Zibanejad had an opportunity. I mean, everybody's praising Mrazek, but I mean, bury the puck for crying out loud. It's a playoff game. You're down a couple of goals.
Hey, playoffs is about the goalie, man. How many times
but those are huge opportunities.
We always talk about the goalie in the playoffs, and it always starts and ends. It's like pitching in the playoffs in baseball. It's like defense in football. Who's got the better defense? Who's got the better running game? We throw the ball like crazy until we get to the playoffs, and all of a sudden we got to hand the ball off and we got to play defense. But it's really sad to watch this. And I think I'd like to think that I speak for a lot of Ranger fans that we're really, really supremely disappointed. We're disappointed that Henrik has to go out this way. We're disappointed that we didn't get to see Shesterkin or Gorgiev. Hell, I would take Gorgiev. I would put him in there. I would play him tonight.
What do you have to lose right now?
You have nothing to lose. And, you know, and then they're talking about, you know, oh, well, experience, you know. And all. Hey, look, this would have been the year to throw one of these young kids in there. And I don't know what's wrong with Shesterkin. He may be seriously, he may be really injured. I don't know.
How can they hide these things these days? Because, like, I know the NHL's always been very cloak and dagger with injuries, but I mean, an unfit to play, you can't just throw that out there.
He's out there practicing.
I mean, you want to know why you can do that in the NHL is because people don't bet on the NHL as much as they do the other sports. You can't get away with unfit to play in football. You can't get away with that in golf, even with the way that people gamble on golf these days.
Right. Well,
it's because nobody's betting on the NHL, so they could just throw a kid out there so he's unfit to play and then give no explanation for what the hell's going on.
Well, here's the bad news for the Rangers. You know, in a 5-game series, there's been only one team in 56 tries to come back from a 2-0 deficit, and that is the Islanders in 1985 against the Washington Capitals. So it starts tonight. I would hope that they would put in a different goalie. I mean, honestly, if you put Henrik back out there again and he gives another goal up over his right shoulder, I think I swear to God I'm going to throw my TV out the window.
Although, I mean, the first one, it snuck right under his armpit, for crying out loud.
Well, he's having a problem over there on that side. That was the first one the other night, too. So, you expected more from this team.
Where are you at right now? You're done. You're throwing your hands up in the air.
No,
you're done.
I'm not done until it's over. I am not done until it's over. See, you're the one who said yesterday the Mets season was over. It still is.
Yeah.
I told you the Mets season, all they need is a 5-game win streak, and they're right back in the middle of it again. And they started, and they got number one with the race last night.
That's what all teams need.
And they got three guys with all sorts of different tightness. So, yeah. And by the way, Aaron Judge is in a slump, did not hit a home run last night. We could see him probably going on a little bit of a downturn now.
And Garrett Cole, a couple of hits.
Garrett Cole now has 19 straight regular season victories. 3-0, home opener for the Yankees last night. He was a monster. So was Jacob deGrom down in Atlanta last night. So mad at himself, too, by the way, by giving up two runs. Too bad for Soroka, too. But, you know,
I have never seen an Achilles snap until last night watching that game.
Really?
And I'd never seen it like that. I've seen people with Achilles injuries.
Hey, the slow-mo. Vinny Testaverde.
But to see it, I'm
Dan
saying.
Dan Marino did it. Same thing.
I know. But did you see it the way that you saw it on this?
It snapped.
But, like, I'm telling you, the way that I watch this, I know I've seen a million athletes go down with this. The way that this snapped in the back of his leg when they had the camera angle, where it, like, reverberated in his sock. That to me was just devastating. I don't remember seeing it like that clear, because remember the examples you're given was when TV was not like HD TV and slow-mo and zoom in and let's see this horrific injury. The way that snapped, I said that. I mean, everybody knew what it was right away. If you've been watching sports, you knew exactly what was going on. Yes, that was brutal last night. And they thought, you know, the SNY guys, Gary, Keith, and Ron, thought that he had twisted his ankle getting off the mound because of the way that he was sitting there. And then they go back and they show as he's just about to take off to make a play, that boom, it's just right there, and he goes down in a heap and he's done. And that's just a shame for baseball because, I mean, it's like he's one of these really good young pitchers that you want to see, even though if he's on a team that you hate. But, hey, it was a good feel-good night for the Mets, even though this season has been just a total joke. And what's Brandon Nimmo doing? Does Brandon Nimmo have any idea that when he said what he said yesterday, it was going to cause a firestorm?
Yeah.
Like, just keep that to yourself, even if you heard the other side of the story. So if you missed it, Brandon Nimmo goes, oh, well, there's a couple of sides to the story. And he's just like such a happy-go-lucky guy. He doesn't even realize that he's just opening up a grenade and throwing it into the clubhouse when he says this. Where he goes, yeah, there's a couple different stories. You know, I heard the story that the Mets said, and I also heard that Cespedes let the Mets know that he was opting out before the game, and they knew about it. Oh, okay, great. You know what those locusts in the Mets beat are going to do now? They're going to swarm. They're all going to swarm.
They're going to swarm like a bunch of murder hornets.
This is the food that they needed to start churning again this anti-Met thing that they have going on. But, I mean, I don't know. At this point, can we just keep the focus where it needs to be on the fact that Yoenis Cespedes quit? That the same guy that put out a hype video of how he's going to prove everybody wrong and use sound bites from me and you saying, I'm going to do, just watch, he's going into a walk here. Here he comes, big bad Yoenis Cespedes. Things didn't go his way for 10 games and he quit. That is where the focus should be. He quit. Give me the COVID opt out or not? The dude quit on the team, and that was that. So
no, he did. He did, and I don't know what, you know. Again, I don't know. Brandon Nimmo's one of his teammates. I understand you want to try to say the right thing about your teammates. Very few guys are going to actually call guys out in real time, especially
screw your organization in the process.
I know, but given the intensity of this whole thing. And the way that I think Met fans, the way we reacted yesterday, I think he was trying to just put a little bit of the water on, a little water on the fire, so to speak.
And Nimmo's a guy who probably had no idea what he was doing. And someone came up to him afterwards and was like, why'd you say that? Oh, shucks, man, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize it. I'm sorry. He probably had no clue of him starting up a controversy. But, of course, the headline, Met star, what was it? The headline this morning in the Post was, Met star heard different version of Yoenis Cespedes' strange exit. And then every bit's the top story on the Post
there
online.
There is absolutely no way in the world that I would believe anything that Yoenis Cespedes said or his agent would say. And by the way, Brody Van Wagenen was his previous agent.
Yeah,
and got him that contract. And there's no reason for Brody to lie about any of it. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Cespedes, exactly. If you're going to believe anybody in this, it cannot be Yoenis Cespedes. He's a strange dude. We understand that. I don't know if he's a bad – it doesn't seem like he's a bad guy. He's just odd. He's capable of anything. You know, it's funny. I had a friend of mine I used to work with who was close with Neil Walker, shared a story one time when Neil Walker was on the Mets with Cespedes, and they were going on like a 10-day road trip. Like, they were gone from home for a long time. So everybody's packing. They're going to the team, playing all the bags and stuff. And Cespedes just had a toiletry bag with him. And Neil Walker says, "Hey, Ces, we're going for like 10 days. You know, this is the longest trip of the year. Is that all you're bringing?" And Cespedes says, "Listen, man, I make money now. I just shop when I get there."
So, that's like, unbelievable.
It's the stuff that he does. He just brought a toiletry bag with him. He just like shopped wherever he went and like threw out the rest of his clothes.
And probably he won't have any money left when it's all over said and done.
Probably one of those guys. You're absolutely right. And I guess a bunch of kids found him at the mall too. That was a picture that was circulating.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, the guy, he's just out there. He's a space cadet. Things weren't going his way. Screw this. I'm going to do the stuff that I want. I'll see you later. And that's what happened. And that's not on the Mets. It's not on a statement. It's not on anything else. It was just, screw this. I don't want to do it. And he also got used to not playing. And you think about how long he's been gone. And a guy like that who's made that much money, who's been gone for that long, you know, back into the baseball grind in an odd year like this where he's not making any money, it's not worth it for him.
Yeah.
You know, we see a lot of that now.
I know. And, you know, maybe that's what's happening in football. You know, there's probably about 48 to 50 players now opting out in the NFL. The CBA was finally signed, and the opt-out now is this Thursday, and it's irrevocable. So players now have until this Thursday to opt out of their NFL contracts and have them move forward for a year. Now, if there are some sort of mitigating dangerous circumstances, it's a $350,000 payment by the league to that player. If it's just a player that just doesn't, you know, want to play and maybe he's a bottom of the roster player, doesn't think he's going to make the team, guess what? Time to opt out. At least you're going to get some money.
Right. I mean, and then having a deadline and such a severe deadline at this point is really, you know, making hard decisions for a lot of players. I mean, the NFL, they understand what they're doing with this. It's like basically, you know, put your money where your mouth is. We don't want to get to training camp, get to the middle of the season, things don't start going your way like Yoenis Cespedes.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it starts taking off. So, this is the example I'm sure that the NFL teams are giving to each other. Like, you see what the Mets just dealt with? Like this, we don't want to deal with some loser doing this to us in the middle of the season.
I know, but football is different. You know, football, you have to have people that are going to play so they can learn the system, both offensively, defensively, special teams-wise. They have to learn the system. You can't just have a guy, you know, come here for 5 weeks and say, you know what, I'm opting out because we're 0-2 and I'm not going to make as much money and you're probably going to shut the league down anyway. And then all of a sudden, you know, leave a team scrambling. You can't do that. I mean, it's not that kind of sport. You have to have guys that are committed and guys that are going to be there and guys who are going to buy into all the systems. You know, I think Josh Allen said it best yesterday. He goes, you know, I love football and I want to play. And I think we're going to be good for America. And I want to be here, you know. So he, like, not every player, you know, and we tend to focus on the guys that are opting out. But, you know, there are a lot of guys that want to play and really think that they have a chance to win a Super Bowl with their respective teams. And Josh Allen, the quarterback of the Bills, is one of them.
Yeah, and same thing we saw with baseball, how diligent the Yankees have been, the way LeBron was making sure everything was perfect for the return of basketball. I mean, you see it. The teams that have a shot, especially, and we're excited about going into this year, are going to make damn sure the games are played. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network just getting started on this Tuesday morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.